Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hold on a full 2 hours this morning on what we heard from the governor last night concerning the budget for the state of Wisconsin. This is Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our Milwaukee studios, and we are here to ask you to invest just 3 minutes of time in your own future. Our goal is to ensure that the programs that you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. A contribution of any amount will do just that. Please make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 70 pledges, and we heard from 108 listeners. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of our members that contributed and all of our new members that joined. Now, this hour, we have a goal of 55 pledges. So help us meet this goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift ensures that the programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Coming up this hour, Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend, who is very supportive of the governor's budget, and State Senator John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, who's in Illinois still, who is not supportive of the budget, and will be opening up phone lines to hear public opinion. And these are conversations you simply won't hear anyplace else. You won't hear the public opinion part, which is crucial to all of this, and we're doing this. So please, discussions like this are only happening on the Ideas Network, and they're possible because of your financial support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, and as an added incentive for your good deed, we have something special for you.
Yes, we do. When you pledge $120 to support WPR programs, this is a good one. You can choose a thank you gift that will provide 40 meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you, so you can let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to those in need in your community. Pledge any amount right now. When you pledge $120, select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has high standards because we know you are intelligent. Because you appreciate the conversations you get on the Ideas Network, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know there are a lot of reasons why Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors, and one of the main reasons is they want to make a difference in many aspects of their life, and giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
Your new membership today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives other people in your neighborhood the chance to discover WPR. Make that difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your pledge of any amount will get you entered in an iPad drawing. Do you want to talk about that, Lisa? It's over here. No contribution is necessary. You see the rules. Make a pledge at WPR.org. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're going to jump into our conversation. And thank you, Lisa, very much for being with us. We have two guests with us the first hour of the program. We're spending the whole 2 hours today on what the governor said yesterday about the budget. This is a conversation that we've been having for over 2 weeks now, and we continue today. We'll have two guests. The first hour, we'll start with Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman. He is from West Bend. And later this hour, State Senator John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton. Our phone lines have been just really busy for the last couple of weeks on this issue because it affects really all of us who live in the state of Wisconsin. So our on-air number and a couple lines are open, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And thank you very much, Senator Grothman, for being with us. Hello.
glad to be on the show.
One of the stories that's making some news today, as you know, is that you, for whatever reason, had a hard time getting into the Capitol yesterday. And according to the Journal Sentinel this morning, you were surrounded by hundreds of angry protesters. This is according to the Cap Times. And State Representative Brett Hulsey, a Democrat from Madison, tried to calm the crowd, and the two of you walked in together to the Capitol.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes this crowd, you get a crowd mentality going, and a lot of the people were very nice in the crowd, but a lot of the people weren't so nice. And that's one thing people have to understand when they say, should all these protesters be in the Capitol? They're not just all kind, peaceful people who want to say, I want to tell Glenn Grossman to vote for AB 50 or something. A lot of them do have kind of a mob mentality and feel the appropriate way to influence your legislator is to get in their face and yell at them and stand in their way.
Were you not, though, amazed by the number of people who have been protesting now into the third week?
No, I'm not amazed at all. You got to remember, what Governor Walker is doing is we are balancing this budget by telling government employees to take what amounts to an 8 or 9% reduction in take-home pay. Madison, let's face it, is the home of government employees. In addition to probably one of the more liberal school districts in the state, you have the tens of thousands of state employees and the state buildings around here. You have one of the largest public universities in the country, less than a mile away, as well as all these students. So I think the idea that you can get 10 or 20 or even 30,000 people to show up at a given time around the Capitol is not surprising at all. As a matter of fact, sometimes it surprises me how few people are up here in the Capitol, given all the liberal college students less than a mile away.
But would you call those people a mob?
A mob?
Yeah. Are those people?
Yesterday I think it was described as a mob. And I guess maybe we should look in the dictionary to see the definition of a mob. But there is no question that you have people not behaving appropriately, kind of all chanting the same irresponsible slogans. If you try to do a TV interview outside, they gather around you and try to all yell in unison so you can't be heard. I mean, I would think that's the definition of a mob.
Let's talk about education for a moment. There are concerns, and the state superintendent of public instruction has said that Wisconsin has long prioritized our children and their public schools. He is concerned that this budget proposes unprecedented cuts to state funding for students and their schools. Our kids, he says, should not disproportionately bear the burdens of years of state fiscal folly.
Well, he's intentionally misleading the public. What's going on here is the kids are going to see no difference. We are telling all units of government, being the university, be it the prisons, be it the state, the legislature, we're telling state employees you're going to have to take an 8 or 9% reduction in take-home pay by the time you get done paying a little more for your health insurance and more for your pension. That lowers the cost of the prisons or the universities or the legislature or the schools. It doesn't hurt the kids at all. As a matter of fact, under Governor Walker's budget, the schools will actually have $50 million more to lavish on the kids they did a year ago. In addition, I think he's even, and something that frustrates me, I think Governor Walker is even leaving an incentive for more districts to adopt four-year-old kindergarten. So in that regard, while it's entirely misguided and ineffective, Governor Walker is even throwing more money at kids. So kids are going to be shortchanged. The teachers are going to have a mild cut in pay, but the kids are going to have the same number of teachers and administrators and social workers and the whole crowd that takes care of them as they have in the past. The kids are not going to be hurt by this budget at all.
Well, how can you do that, Senator Grossman, if you're cutting funds by millions of dollars to school districts? I guess I just don't understand that.
Well, it shouldn't be that difficult to understand. If you are saying you're going to have millions of dollars less, but if a teacher whose total compensation a year ago was $90,000 and now that compensation is $84,000, it doesn't hurt the child. You've got the same number of people in that school taking care of those children. So how are the children being cut? They aren't being cut. They aren't being hurt. I suppose you would say the teacher's being hurt, but in this economy where so many people lost their job altogether, having a total compensation package of, say, $84,000 instead of $90,000 or $82,000 instead of $90,000, that's just not that big a deal.
The tools that the governor keeps talking about, that he's giving school districts and municipalities the tools to deal with this. What are those tools? When you talk about they're getting $50 million more, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying after you say that you have to pay your employees less,
right,
which means we can give you less money, then in addition to that, under the state spending caps, they're saying you get $50 million more than you did a year ago. And then other tools are you have a change in collective bargaining. Right now, the working conditions are the subject of negotiation with the union. If you want to have a teacher watch the lunchroom, say, or something, that's no longer a bargainable thing. You just say, just like you would any other employee, today you watch the lunchroom. And presumably that will save some money. Furthermore, right now, some unions, I think showing that in some unions they don't care about the kids at all, you may have a, or some locals, you may have one school district in which the school district is paying $24,000 for a family health insurance plan. Another district may be paying $15,000 for a family plan because they self-insure. But one group of teachers says, I don't care. I want the more expensive plan, even though the benefits are the same. Under Governor Walker's budget, we'll say, look, we're about the kids, not about the teachers' union health insurance policy and making them happy. We're going to insist now that the cost of a family health plan drop by $9,000 for a school teacher. Well, it's going to be a huge benefit for the kids. It might not be that good if you work for WVA Trust, the teachers' union health insurance company, but for the kids, it's good. So that allows the school districts to put the kids first and the teachers' union health insurance company second, which is about time after, for so many years, treating kids second.
You know, I've heard from teachers and school board people throughout the state, some of whom have said the best deal they got for keeping their costs low was from WEA Trust.
WEA Trust can become more efficient if they're forced to become more efficient, but many teachers' union locals don't force them to become more efficient. Many teacher union locals will pay the ridiculously high amount, and that's a problem we have right now.
Some people are very concerned, as you know, this debate over choice schools and voucher schools has been going strong in the city of Milwaukee for a long period of time. Do you believe that public schools are a good thing? Do you think that the governor would like to move toward many more voucher schools, private schools?
Well, voucher schools are a good thing. Individual parents are in the best position to determine what's best for their kids. I have toured the choice schools in Milwaukee, and a lot of them are clearly better than the public schools. And if they are better, and the parent who is on site, who can inspect those schools, who knows their child, feels that the private school is better than the public school, why shouldn't the parent have that right? Obviously, the parent should have the right to go to the private school, which, by the way, is cheaper to boot.
Because there are no union employees?
No, they're cheaper because they don't have as many administrators. I don't think you have as many non-teaching personnel. They're non-union. Probably the employees make a smidge less, too. That's probably true.
Uh-huh. And what about how we regulate them? I mean, Wisconsin has had this proud tradition, and I think we've attracted people to the state, that we have very good public schools. We have very good higher education programs. How do you make sure, in order to attract business, which the governor wants to do, how do we do that? How do we keep the schools strong if we're not really looking at those private charter schools and making sure that they are really good? Some of them have gone out of business.
Well, first of all, I want to point out that Wisconsin used to have a good education system, and in many regards, it's still okay. But on national tests right now, our fourth grade reading scores are not very good at all. I hate it when they break it down by race, but I was looking at the most recent fourth grade reading scores for the state of Wisconsin. We have the worst reading scores in the country for black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, well, that's just Milwaukee, although we should care a great deal about Milwaukee. But do you know that our fourth grade reading scores right now are below the national average for white kids, too? I mean, we no longer are the proud education state we once were, and I think part of the problem is the teachers' union just keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So I applaud Governor Walker for kind of weakening the stranglehold the teachers' union has on our public schools so we can one more time be known as a great education state.
What does the teachers' union have to do with fourth-grade reading scores?
Well, if you have a strong teachers' union, you cannot get rid of bad teachers, which is a huge problem. Obviously, as soon as you can't get rid of bad teachers, other teachers realize they don't have to teach as well. I think that's the reason I've gotten called from several of my superintendents who are 100% in favor of Governor Walker's initiative of getting rid of the collective bargaining. You know, the collective bargaining is bad for kids.
Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them, and we'll take them momentarily. We're talking about the governor's budget address yesterday. We'll have several guests with us and as many phone calls as we can fit in. State Senator Glenn Grothman is with us the first half hour, Republican State Senator from West Bend. State Senator John Erpenbach will be joining us later, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, now in Illinois. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we start our phone calls for State Senator Glenn Grothman. Our first call is Craig from Onalaska. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. I'd like to express the opinion that the governor has done a pretty poor job of explaining how he's going to be creating 250,000 new jobs. I feel that he's already lost jobs, and I think that the proposed budget will create a loss of jobs. As the teachers pay more, they have less money to spend in their respective areas. That's going to create less money for local businesses. And I think, you know, that's going to create a certain number of job losses. So I'd like a better explanation other than just saying I'm going to do it. What exactly is he going to do? How is he going to get companies to bring plants into the state to create all these jobs?
We're going to have a variety of tax cuts, some of which have already been implemented to improve Wisconsin's business rankings. A couple of years ago, and I don't necessarily agree with the ranking, but Forbes magazine, as far as I know, has nothing against Wisconsin, ranked Wisconsin as the 48th best state to do business. Obviously, it is a bad thing if you pick up a national publication and Wisconsin is so poorly ranked in business climate. So we're going to improve the business climate in that way. We're going to improve the business climate by having a new wonderful DNR secretary, Kathy Steff, who does not view business as a dirty word. And I think what's going to happen in a year or 2 years from now, if Forbes magazine redoes those rankings, you're going to see Wisconsin shoot up and no longer be near the bottom. As we're not near the bottom, more people will want to do business in Wisconsin, open businesses in Wisconsin. I think he's going to try to get some more venture capital flowing, and that's the way he's going to create jobs. We do not believe in just creating government jobs, you know, in the free market. All sorts of individuals around the state open new businesses or expand old businesses. So it's not like we have a command economy where Governor Walker is going to order this company to hire 10 new people or such. But by improving the business climate, we will have more jobs. And the idea that somehow we get more jobs by, you know, raising public employee compensation is kind of silly. I mean, you know, would anybody say it would be good public policy to triple my salary so I can spend more money in the state of Wisconsin? That would make no sense.
And have you had indications, Senator Grothman, that this is working? Are there businesses who are expressing interest now in coming to Wisconsin?
Well, I think the bills that were signed, most of these bills were signed 2 weeks ago, so no, people don't call me anyway. They wouldn't call their state senator to let them know. I will. It is obvious that the laws, the bills that were passed in January and early February improve Wisconsin's tax climate, and they improve Wisconsin's litigation climate.
We go next to, thanks, Craig, for the call, Michelle in Kenosha. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yes, Mr. Grothman, I'm really, really sorry that to hear of your comments on the last road with Lawrence O'Donnell. You have insulted me. I was there. I am not a college student. I am not a slob. I did not make the Capitol a pigsty. I saw elderly people in wheelchairs. I saw babies. I saw children. I saw people my parents' age, seniors. I realize in every crowd there are folks who may not behave the way you would like them to. But aside from all the other issues around this budget that Governor Walker has proposed, please do not insult the vast numbers of people who were at the Capitol and in the Capitol. I am very disappointed that one of our elected officials would do so. And excuse me, I realize I have the right to say something, but so do we. You have just said that in your previous comments that you were happy to have a DNR head for whom business is not a dirty word. I would appreciate it if unions would not be a dirty word or the teachers would not be a dirty word. I actually am in a corporate, non-union family. I will be happy to be taxed at a higher rate.
Good. Now, so your listeners understand what the caller was talking about. Yesterday, a interviewer on a TV network...
Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC. Yeah, I was watching that.
Yeah, he asked me to comment on the people who were staying overnight in the Capitol, and I referred to them as slobs. They are some of them very nice slobs, I'll give them that, but they are slobs nonetheless. I would say when people do not leave the building at 6 o'clock when they are supposed to, people ignore Capitol rules not to tape posters to the walls and do anyway. If they hang around in the morning in their sleeping bags and air mattresses so that school groups and that sort of thing cannot use the Capitol as they normally use them. If on some days they chant in my face as a way of intimidating me, I would describe those people as slobs. I did not say all public employees were slobs. I did not say all protesters were slobs. I did not say the people who come here early in the morning and leave at night are slobs. I did say the people who stay overnight in the Capitol are collectively slobs. Some of them are nice, lovable slobs. I stop and talk to them, but they are slobs. So I'll restate that. Yes, that is true.
But some of them believe that this is, and believe very strongly in their positions, which is one of the lovely things about democracy, that they're participating in the democratic process.
That's true, and I have dealt with people on many emotional issues, be they pro-life issues, be they deer hunting issues, be they issues regarding the disabled, and never before have we had people who, as part of expressing their views, felt compelled to spend the night on their air mattress with their girlfriend. We never before had people who feel compelled to bang their drums, trying to prevent anybody else from hearing themselves think in the Capitol. We've never had that type of people before.
Why do you think they're doing that? Why then? Why are they doing it? For fun?
I think you're just tracking a lower grade of person. That's why I think they are. You mean why do people who are opposed to this bill behave so much more uncivilly than people who show up here to testify about deer hunting or pro-life issues or handicapped issues? Why are they so much worse? I don't know. It's really an interesting question why this group in particular lobbying on this bill are so much more uncivil. It's a good question. We can open it up for the audience. Why are these people so much more uncivil than people who testify in other bills?
Well, I think a lot of the people will say that they're not being uncivil.
Well, they obviously are. They've jostled people in the halls. They bring in drums and bang them as hard as they can in the rotunda. If I do a television interview, they gather behind me and shout as loud as they can, trying to prevent me from being heard. I think all those things are obvious.
All right, Senator Grothman, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be on the show, Kathleen. It's always great to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The erudite listeners, thank you very much. We're definitely not slobs. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Senator Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend. We're going to have, as you can imagine, a completely different perspective on the governor's budget from John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, coming up in just one moment. We do want to tell you that we are in our winter membership drive. And it's a very important one. And it comes at a time when we're debating very, very big issues in the state of Wisconsin and looking at our future. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. We are here today to raise the money we need to pay for the programs that keep you in the know and entertained. That's how WPR works. The people who use it help pay for it. Please go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to ensure that the future of the programs you count on You need to ensure that. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian is with me.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
We are looking for 38 pledges in the next 30 minutes. And thank you so much if you've already given. If not, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may have found yourself close to the radio, listening to a lot more radio the last 3 weeks. I think we've found that to be true, drawn into a great discussion and an important discussion and a completely different set of ideas about how we move forward in Wisconsin. You need to get somewhere, but the discussion is really interesting, and maybe even you stop and you call in because you want to express your opinion. You appreciate the guest's knowledge, the callers' questions and views, and because that has happened to you, please make your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge $120 or more, you can choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift. This thank you gift will provide 40 meals to those facing hunger in your area. For more information about Food for 40 and to make your pledge, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I like that program. That's a really good
too.
Idea. It's nice. Think about why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and specifically to this program, and then give yourself some time to think about all of that, which won't take very long because you'll immediately think of all kinds of programs you heard and you said, remember that show, remember that show. I think about that every day. And then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whatever your reason is for listening, that's also your reason for giving. You decide your reason, you decide your amount, and then you have one more choice. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Pledging to WPR is a quick and easy process. And to make it even easier, make the switch to being a sustainer. A sustaining membership is one that automatically renews. Choose a monthly gift amount, $10 a month, $20 a month, any amount can be a sustaining gift.
And as a sustainer, you'll help Wisconsin Public Radio save money because we won't have to send you as many renewal notices in the mail. And also to say thank you, I love this idea as well. We'll plant a tree in the Shawangun Nicolet National Forest on your behalf. So please make the switch, make a difference, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 25 minutes left to make our goal of 55 pledges, and we need 34 more pledges to make that goal. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Lisa, and we do want to make that amount this hour, particularly as we talk about the budget. State Senator John Erpenbach, we should be linking with momentarily. We're just trying to get him on the phone. We have tons of phone calls coming in on this issue. We will be talking about it the entire 2 hours of our program. So your phone calls will be applicable all of the next 2 hours of the program. So please call with your pledge. We'll get State Senator John Erpenbach, who's been doing a great deal of press all over the country the last few days. We'll get him on the air here in just a moment. We also forgot to tell you, or I forgot to tell you, that there is a special drawing today, Lisa.
Yes, and it is for an iPad, and no contribution is needed to enter. You can see the rules to win an iPad and make a pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Lisa. State Senator John Erpenbach joining us by phone from Illinois now. Senator Erpenbach, hello.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. Senator Grothman made some comments that made people a little bit angry, I think, during the last half hour. But
what was that?
He was calling the people who were staying in the Capitol slobs and nice slobs, but slobs.
Yeah. Well, Glenn is such a natty dresser, so I could understand.
Is he? Is he a natty?
No, I'm just kidding. I wish you would, because I heard about it last night too.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, my constituents. These are people from all over the state of Wisconsin coming down there with their families or on their own or whatever the case may be. From what I understand and talking to my staff and others around the building every day, they're not slobs. These are just people are extremely concerned with what's going on in Wisconsin right now.
He made the point that, and let's start with education, which is really key to how well a state functions. And if people come to the state, they have good schools. We all know that. He said that as a result of more contributions from teachers and as a result of the loss of collective bargaining, although I fail to understand what those, how those tools would help the budget, that school districts will really have $50 million more, that we won't see an increase in class sizes, that schools will be even better as a result of this budget?
Well, it's actually not true. I talked to a few school district administrators late yesterday afternoon when we were finding out what the governor was proposing and what they would have to do in order to deal with the cuts that they're looking at. And they said it's going to be, you know, it's going to be difficult. There's no doubt about that. They're all very committed to the mission that they have to educate our kids as best as they can. But, you know, for some districts, it's going to be impossible. And that's a big word, but it is going to be impossible. These cuts are going to have an effect. There's no two ways around that. And it's not just the money coming out of the teachers' pockets that's going to be taken out of the economy. It's what the school districts are going to have to do with their budgets. And it's going to be very difficult.
What are the plans? You're talking with your Republican colleagues even now. What are the plans here or the thoughts about public school as a whole? The governor also talked about more vouchers, lifting the cap in Milwaukee and eventually lifting the cap so that it doesn't make any much difference about how much money you make. Is there a concern about public education that there are some people who believe it can be done better on a private basis?
Well, I think if you take a look at the budget, both the budget repair bill and the budget overall, the linchpin in everything right now is the elimination of collective bargaining. And the reason being is to get at kind of what you're talking about. There are people at the Capitol, and the governor included, who believe that those in the private sector can teach our kids better, that there are those in the private sector that can plow the roads better, that can do all of that stuff together. Because what's going to happen with the way the budget is proposed, and if collective bargaining is essentially outlawed in Wisconsin, is that municipalities and school districts have to live with deep cuts. And the only way they're really going to be able to function and do what they're supposed to do is to lay off public employees and then turn around and contract back out for that work. Because, Kathleen, you can lay off a snowplow driver, for example, but it's still going to snow in Wisconsin. That's just a fact. So the work is still going to be there. So it's very clear what the governor's intent is here, and that is to essentially bust the union so it's easier to lay off public employees and then turn around and contract out for those jobs.
Hmm. Well, maybe there's a way to change the weather so it won't snow.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. The mayor, Mayor Barrett of Milwaukee, was pretty mad yesterday, and I heard him on the radio this morning, too. Can you talk about those municipalities and cities that have a huge amount of their budget going for benefits for police and firefighters? I mean, how are they to maneuver this great loss in aid from the state? What are they to do?
Well, there are communities that are already locked in contracts for, you know, a year or two, whatever the case may be. And, again, it's going to be really difficult because, you know, the communities have to honor those contracts, which is why the governor is insisting on the removal of collective bargaining. He calls it a tool. It's really more like a sledgehammer or a jackhammer. I mean, this is he's putting municipalities, you know, whether you support Mayor Barrett or not, he's putting Mayor Barrett and other mayors and city managers and everybody else throughout the state in an impossible situation. It's a situation that the governor knows they can't deal with unless they figure out a way to get back at the contracts basically lay off employees to try and deal with the budget cuts that they're going to be looking at. And the reason why people really, I believe that, again, besides collective bargaining, Kathleen, is the stringent caps he's putting on local government. So they won't be able to go out and get the money they need for things that they are not only expected to do but required to do. So the governor is putting local units of government, county level, all over the place in situations that they can't win.
Let's go to phone calls. We have a ton of people on hold. Scott in Appleton. Hi. Whoa, Scott, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes. My statement or question is, with all of the budgets being cut here and there seems to be a few sacred cows. One thing that hasn't been mentioned, and I was a little shocked, when you compare the demographics of Minnesota's prison population to Wisconsin's, we have populations that are the same. Incarceration rates are way out of whack. We incarcerate 2.5 times more than them, and we're talking about apples and apples when we look at the types of crime Wisconsin incarcerates 374 people per 100,000. Minnesota, 137. We, last year, spent $1.2 billion housing those people. Minnesota spent less than half of that last year. If it is not a political reason, why are we going to now increase our prison population with the truth in sentencing? This makes no sense. And thank you for your good work.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Senator Erbenbach.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Minnesota is a little bit different than Wisconsin on a lot of issues, and one of them being is how they deal with their prison population. We, as a state, we're moving toward more of a Minnesota model in the sense that if we're dealing with nonviolent offenders, trying to transition them out of prison simply because there are better ways to deal with their issues and the issues that they're causing in society. But we all know it's extremely expensive to keep people behind bars. Yeah, if you're a violent offender and you should be in prison, you're going to be in prison. But there are other ways and cost-effective ways with better results to deal with a certain segment of our prison population. So rather than take a look at those successes and build upon that, the governor apparently is getting tough on crime again, and it's all going to cost us a lot of money, a lot of money. So, again, it's a situation where there were some programs that were working and actually holding the cost down and becoming more cost-effective for all of us that the governor just seems to be ignoring. So you up the corrections budget, and you keep people in prison longer. And I think it's ironic. Well, it's not ironic because I know what he's doing. Again, with what's going on with collective bargaining, a lot of the private industry corporations have registered here in the state of Wisconsin and hired lobbyists to lobby legislators to try and pick up contracts with the state to deal with our prisoners, whether it be our guards or our doctors and nurses who provide health care to our inmates. So, Kathleen, it's very clear, very systematic what's going on right now, and it doesn't take much to put two and two together to see what's going on, and the prison is a classic example of what the governor wants to do.
Let's talk about health care for a moment. What do you see as the changes, and what is your response to changes in Medicaid, family share, going to work and trying to get off, trying to go to school at the same time so you can get a better job? That will be cut. Your overall response to that?
Well, there's a couple of things when it comes to Medicaid that are alarming. First of all, there are two main programs. We have senior care, which helps our senior population deal with the cost of prescription drugs, and then there's Badger Care to help low-income or no-income kids with their families when it comes to the issue of health care. The first thing that's perhaps the most troubling is that the governor and his health and social service secretary will be the only ones who will be able to rewrite the rules of eligibility. So, in other words, Scott Walker is going to be able to say, you can be in Badger Care and you can't. And if you're a senior citizen, this is something you need to pay particularly close attention to. From what I understand, he's going to require all senior citizens in Wisconsin to register for Medicare Part D. And if you're eligible for that, no matter what you think of the program, you have to take it. Senior care is a much better program for senior citizens, and it's something that the federal government should be modeling Medicare Part D after. But he's going to require everybody to apply first. So if you're on senior care right now, Kathleen, and you're a senior citizen, and you know the system, and you know how it works, and your medications are affordable because of senior care, but you're eligible for Medicare Part D, that's what the governor is going to force you on. And so that's something that I'm not certain that's a fight he really wants to pick right now. Senior citizens are very active in the state of Wisconsin. They're very knowledgeable. They know exactly what this means to them. So I would imagine we'll be starting to hear from seniors in a very loud way real soon.
Tim in Wauwatosa, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to react to Senator Grossman's comments about the slots in the Capitol. Having been up there over the weekend, I was actually amazed at how respectful the crowds were, in spite of their large size. And I just wanted to point out as well that I mean this is a public building. And these are members of the public. I mean, the senator last night made the point of saying, for example, that some of these protesters who spent the night were college teaching assistants. Well, those are unionized state workers in this state. They are paying taxes in this state, and their unions negotiate their contract with the state. Having been in that situation in Madison a decade ago, I know that very well. And so I just think that this sort of demonizing of people because they have a position that's entirely different from your own is a bad way to try and govern.
Thank you, Tim, for the call,
yeah,
Senator.
Just a real quick comment on that. There have been thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in and out of Madison over the past couple of weeks, and there haven't been any. Kathleen, more people get arrested at a Badger game than have been arrested at these protests. And there's, you know, I'm sure we're well over 500,000 people who visited the protesters. They've been peaceful. They've been polite. They certainly let their voices be heard. And the escalating maneuvers I see by the Department of Administration and Governor Walker are actually pretty alarming in the fact that we've never had to nobody's ever had to show an ID to get in that building. Nobody's ever had to walk. Even during 9/11, nobody had to walk through a metal detector to get into the Capitol. So those kind of things are very alarming, and I'm not certain why the governor is choosing to do that. I don't know if he's picking a fight. I don't know if he's trying to stamp out the protesters and quiet their voices. I don't understand why he feels the need to do something like that.
What are you going to do now? For indications are that you don't have enough Republicans to vote against the budget. You guys want to be coming home soon, I would think. The demonstrations are continuing. What's going to happen?
You know, I don't know. I mean, we want to be home now. I mean, we've been reaching out to the governor's office, been reaching out to all of the Senate Republicans to say, look, you know, the public employees have given the governor every penny he's asked for. It just amazes me how Governor Walker hasn't even publicly acknowledged that yet. He's totally ignoring that. He's been asked, and he just totally ignores it. So the money's there to solve the budget issue as far as the public employees are concerned, and what they've asked to give up, they've given up. There are Republicans on the record who are opposing, or not opposing, but who are supporting what the governor wants to do. But there are Republicans who haven't taken a position yet publicly.
Mm.
And those are six or seven Republicans, or five or six, however many, who have always voted for the public employees' contracts when they've come up for a vote. They've always supported labor. They've always supported collective bargaining. And that's why, by the way, you're not seeing the issue of collective bargaining stripped out of this thing and voted on separately, because if that were the case, it would never pass the Senate, ever.
Oh.
So, the next step is up to them, and it has been up to them for a long time. He's got an offer on his desk. The way out of this is right in front of the governor's nose. And it would be a huge step if he would just at least publicly acknowledge the fact that the employees have given up every penny they've been asked to give up.
Let's go to one more phone call. Jeff in Winneconne, hi.
Hi. What's happening here is the state employees are paying in for their pensions, and that money does not come out of state money, state taxes. That money comes out of a special fund that we put together 25 years ago. And, as far as Grossman, I'd like to see him get elected again. You know, and what Click and Clack would say is this guy needs a dope slap.
Are there going to be significant recall efforts, do you think?
Yeah, I think there's recall efforts underway on both sides of the aisle right now, and obviously you don't want to see it come to that. But this gives you an idea of the issue. We are way beyond partisan politics here. We're talking about, and at least in our opinion, Senate Democrats' opinion, a way of life in Wisconsin. Mm. We're talking about the backbone of the middle class in Wisconsin. We're talking about mom and pop shops all over Main Street in small town Wisconsin who directly benefit from a strong collective bargaining law, whether they know it or not. They benefit because of collective bargaining and wages being what they are. People have spendable income. Well, in Dane County, for example, with the public employees agreeing to give up the concessions to the governor, you're taking $260 million out of the economy in Dane County alone, and you're taking it out immediately. That's going to have an impact on small business up and down the state of Wisconsin. So we're talking about the middle class here. In the end, that's what this is all about. In order for Wisconsin to survive and continue to move forward economically, we have to have a strong, vibrant middle class with the opportunity to move up in life financially if you choose to do so, and it's possible. If you take away collective bargaining, that's not going to happen. So what I want to leave you with is the question we all should be asking ourselves. Yeah, there are tough times right now, and there are people out of work. So why wouldn't you want to help them raise the bar and help them find a job and help them with health care and help them with other things rather than lower the bar for everybody else?
Hey.
To me, it makes no sense.
Thank you, Senator Erpenbach.
All right, Kathleen, good talking with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Senator John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.